Chapter 2. You have to escape now. A sound that might be a laugh cracks out of Granta's raw throat. Go, he demands, and tries to push up again, just to prove a point. None of his muscles work right, and his balance is shot. He can't even stand, let alone stage a daring prison break. But Tup gets an arm around his back, turns toward the door. Come on, he says, but not to Granta, and there's a hesitation, a groan, and then another clone is sliding in, crossing the room with quick strides to tuck himself under Granta's other arm. We're absolutely going to get decommissioned for this, the clone says, but his hands are careful as he tries to find a spot on Granta that doesn't hurt to hold on to. Only if we get caught, Tup says stubbornly, and Granta chokes on a sound of amusement. You haven't changed, brat, he says, but when they try to pull him towards the door, he resists as best as he can. If you get me within a meter of the door, it's going to be very unpleasant for all of us. The collar is deactivated, Tup says, and Granta's breath catches. The security tapes are looped, too. Cries, he's a slicer. He's been helping me break into the computer systems. Come on. A slicer. Deactivated. It takes Granta a moment to remember how to breathe, and by that time, Tup and his friend have him up and across the room. The first step Granta takes out of his cell in almost 8 years is, well, anticlimactic. He stumbles and trips when his feet decide not to work, and if the two boys weren't holding him upright, he'd have ended up kissing the tile. Careful, Tup says, worried, and his fingers knot tight in Granta's shirt as he steers him up the long corridor. I was trying. I thought something was wrong when they kept taking you, but I didn't think they would end everything this quickly. End everything. Granta's breath rasps in his throat, and he feels a chill slide down his back. Shutting the program down, he rasps, and Tup nods, reaching for the controls of the lift at the end of the hall. It slides open, and he and his friend shuffle in, Granta suspended between them and feeling rather ragdollish. I think someone must have given them the order just a few weeks ago, he says, and inputs another code. The doors slide shut, and there's a shutter as the lift rises, slides sideways. Tup leans back against the wall, breath escaping him in a rush of nerves, and glances up. They've been taking enough samples to last them a while, he says, meeting Granta's gaze. And the next time they took you, you were supposed to be... decommissioned, Granta says, grimly amused that the word applies so evenly. He takes a moment to steady himself, to shake his head and try to steady his vision, and then glances at Tup again. He looks... older. Startlingly older, given how fast the clones age. Still a year or so from being shipped out onto the battlefield, but he's not the half-grown boy who wandered down to Granta's cell one day and then just kept coming back. I thought they'd gotten rid of you, he says, an unforgivable bit of weakness, a stupid statement when his own skin is on the line, but for so many years, it was only Colt, forever busy and a little stressed and brusque. Then it was Vector, dead in 3 weeks. Tup was the first one besides Colt to show him kindness, to linger. Colt could be dismissed as an outlier, but Tup was a pattern. Tup was another clone showing him more humanity than Granta had ever bothered to show anyone in the years since his mother's death, except Skywalker, who wasn't even interested in returning the favor. Tup, and then Jax, shook his whole world on its foundations. Tup swallows, the hand in Granta's shirt curling tighter. I wanted to find out what they were doing to you, he says quietly, and why. But if I was digging into things, and I kept coming down to meet you, I thought someone would get suspicious. I couldn't do both, and I was worried they'd decide you weren't useful anymore. And they did. Granta grimaces, and he'd believed after the first 5 years that he was safe from that, that they'd just keep him around for experiments until he died of old age. He should have known that even Kaminoans funded by a Sith Lord can have budgeting concerns and project priority conflicts. "You found it?" he asks, because if Tup knows, he's going to be in danger. But they're escaping. That, at least, will keep him safe. Tup nods, and when the lift opens, he steers Granta out into a quiet hallway. "Something to do with the Force and you not having it," he says, but Granta's attention catches on the wide windows that line the hall, lashed by rain and the stormy seas. The sight is almost gutting, after so long with only the lab and his cell as his horizons. "Hells," he mutters, and tries his best to get his feet under himself, dragging his gaze away. The unfamiliar clone looks from Granta to the windows, and the touch of his hand is gentle as he steers them left, down a branching path and up an incline. "We'll be out of sight of it for a minute," he says, determined, "but it's still there." Clones, Granta thinks, are going to be the death of him. "Your Kryze?" he asks, but the clone instantly shakes his head. "Kryze is a sergeant in the 212th, he says. "I'm Comet. Tup and I are batchmates." "He's a pilot," Tup says quickly. I don't have clearance to get to any of the ships, and I couldn't steal it, but..." "I swiped the flight instructor's creds," Comet says, more or less cheerfully. "He's always losing them anyway, so he won't notice. And we've been doing a unit on passenger ships, so it's perfect timing. Kryze couldn't strip a starfighter of its IDs, but he managed an old light cruiser just fine, and I made sure it was in the main hangar." Granta snorts, says, "A thief? I think I like you. You have potential." Comet just shrugs. "Not like we're allowed to have things anyway. If we want anything, we have to steal it." Tup slants him a glance, but, tellingly, he doesn't offer anything to contradict the notion. Hesitates, and then says, "Granta, that cadet, with the youth brigade patches, I tried to find him so he could say goodbye, but he's not on Kamino." The world swims, and Granta closes his eyes. "Jax," he thinks, and the name knots in his throat, strains against his next breath. He's going to walk back down there and see an empty cell, and Granta has no way to reach him, to tell him. That Tup even thought to look for him in the middle of staging a prison break and trying to coordinate with a slicer all the way across the galaxy in an active war zone. Well, the second time Tup had found his way down to Granta's cell, he'd brought socks, a few protein rations and new flavors, a puzzle of moving parts one of the older clones had made. Little things, but thoughtful, because he'd looked and seen and immediately wanted to offer comforts that Granta had long since gone without. Granta has never been able to offer much in return that isn't knowledge of how to sabotage a hyperdrive or kill a man quietly, and very little has felt like such a failing. "Do you know where he is?" he asks, and Tup smiles. It eases some of the tension on his face, settles in his eyes, and Granta has to look away. "On Dantooine," Tup says, and reaches up, gripping Granta's hand where it dangles over his shoulder. "They should be there for another few weeks." He glances down the next hall, then steers Granta and Comet right. "Granta, I think I know why they were ending the project." At the edge of the wide hangar doors, Comet pauses, shifts Granta until he's mostly leaning on Tup. "Wait here," he murmurs, and helps Tup ease Granta to sit against the wall. "I'll get the ship started and input the course. Just a minute." Tup nods, crouching down beside Granta as Comet darts away. His fingers are still tangled with Granta's, and he casts a quick look up and down the hall, then says quietly, "The Kaminoans were trying to splice your DNA into clones to make them the same as you, but still like Django, so that no one would notice. But too many of them looked too different, and then the only ones who could pass as clones like us didn't have anything extra." Looked too different. For a moment, Granta stares at Tup, those words ringing in his ears. The meaning settles slowly, viciously, and his fingers go tight around Tup's in one convulsive clutch. "Too different," he repeats. They made clones. It worked. But they disposed of them because of looks?" Tup grimaces, tugging at the strands of his own hair. "I couldn't find anything else," he says, halfway to an apology, but touched with a thread of anger, too. "I copied as many files as I could, and there's a pad on the ship with all the information. Only one squad looked right as they grew up. And the rest were killed. murdered, allowed to grow, to be people, and then euthanized without care or mercy. Granta digs the fingers of his free hand into the tile, trying to contain the urge to lash out, to burn the whole facility to ashes, to hunt down every last cloner in this crater-blasted place and cut them open, kill them slowly. The clones they created weren't Granta. They shared half of his DNA, though. They may as well have been his children, and all but five of them are dead. "The survivors," he rasps, and looks up, finds Tup watching him from barely a foot away, something in his face that Granta can't read. "Where are they? Can I get to them?" Tup smiles, bright, relieved. "You're going to help them?" he asks. "They only barely made it through training into deployment, and someone is probably looking for an excuse so they can get rid of them, to hide the evidence." Granta's lungs are full of coals, and he laughs, vicious. "They're my sons," he says, and the words are strange, unfamiliar, don't fit right in his mouth. But true. True. He has five children somewhere out in the galaxy, children who share his blood. Xanatos and Chura's grandchildren, and the thought is enough to take his breath away. He'd never planned to have children, hadn't had even the faintest interest. Being a child was highly unpleasant, not something he would want to inflict on anyone else, and he'd mostly just wanted revenge against the Jedi. But they made people with his DNA. There are five of them left, and they're going to be targets, just like the others who didn't make it. Someone is trying to kill them, and they're Granta's. No one gets to kill what's his. That's just a fact of the universe. He would have burned the Republic down to get revenge because of Xanatos' suicide, even though it was Xanatos' choice, his own doing. There's no possible way he would do any less for his own sons. Tup's fingers are tight in his, and he leans forward, wraps his arms around Granta's neck and hugs him, tight enough that it's hard to breathe. A little surprised, Granta glances down at him, then snorts, raising a hand to stroke his tangled curls. "I like the hair," he says quietly. "It's dashing. Jango Fett wishes he could pull off a look like that." Tup laughs, just a little, and if it wavers, Granta isn't about to say anything about it. "You said on Telos most people had long hair," he says. "Most clones don't. So I just took the idea." "Not like we're allowed to have things anyway. If we want anything, we have to steal it." "I'll have to find you some hairpins," Granta says, and breathes out, closes his eyes. "Pretty ones with jewels like flowers, maybe. Just as soon as I can rob a few people blind and save some credits." "Only the people who deserve it," Tup warns, but he still isn't letting go. Granta makes a vague sound of agreement, carefully doesn't mention that he's of the opinion that anyone with large sums of money deserves to be parted from at least some of it. Plenty of wealthy bastards came through the refueling station, after all, and Granta grew up with barely enough credits to pay for rent and food in the same month, no matter how many extra shifts Chura worked. Xanatos had brought them credits when he came, but that was never frequent, and the money never lasted long enough. He'd been paranoid, too, that any large transfers would be traced, found out, so he'd just had them make do. They had, but, well, Granta still takes a vaguely obscene amount of satisfaction in parting rich bastards from their credits. It's fun, that's all. "I thought I might be one of the ones," Tup says, so quiet that Granta almost misses it. He stills, fingers tightening in Tup's hair, and there's an ache in his chest that's strangely sharp, like a knife through his sternum. "One of your clones, because I was different. A little quieter, a little warier, prone to saying odd things and not quite the same as the other clones. It's one of the reasons he found his way down to Granta's cell to begin with, why he stayed. He grew his hair out, like they wear it on Telos," Granta thinks, and closes his eyes again. "You are," he says, light, even though the words are heavy on his tongue. "In every way that matters, Tup. I taught you how to knife a man in the back and get away with it, didn't I? That's a precious inheritance, so treasure it." Tup laughs, pulling back. "I'm not going to knife anyone but droids," he says, and Granta sighs pointedly. "I don't know where I went wrong," he laments, and Tup grins, then gets a hand under his arm. "I'm glad," he says, and when Granta glances at him, raising a brow, he smiles. "That you're not like Jango." Granta makes a sound of derision, painfully hauling himself back to his feet as Tup tries his best to help. The whole world spins for a long moment, takes longer to steady than it should, and when it does, Granta finds his heart is racing painfully, too loud in his chest. Hells, he thinks, and leans against the wall so he doesn't slide right back down onto his ass. A deadbeat if there ever was one, he says, pauses, grimaces, and squeezes his eyes shut. I might throw up on you. Don't take it personally. Tup's touch is steadying, his hand cool over Granta's brow. Your fever's getting worse, he says worriedly. I should have gotten a medic or a medical droid. I'll be fine, Granta says, catching his wrist and tugging it down. At the same moment, there's a hiss, and a side door opens. Comet hurries over, sliding in under Granta's arm with a wary look up the hall. Come on, he says, low. Everything's ready, but Muzzle's fighter is missing, and he sometimes goes for early morning flights. We should move. Tup nods, and they all but drag Granta through the open door, across the chilly hangar. An old and faintly battered light cruiser is waiting, ramp down and engine running, and Tup asks Comet, all the controls are set. Comet nods. I picked a spot with a lot of interference, and once the ship lands, it should be pretty much undetectable. The cloaking's sketchy at best, but not many people come out of hyperspace there, and the defenses should engage once the engine's off. Tup's breath is rough, worried, but he nods. We got plenty of supplies on board, he tells Granta. It should be everything you need for at least a few weeks. We couldn't slice a medical droid, but if you have time to recover... He trails off, fingers tight around Granta's wrist. Granta opens his mouth to say thanks, pauses. A flicker of unease runs through him, and he says, You're not coming, I thought. Tup shakes his head quickly. My squad need me, he says. We're about to start training for the finals, and then we'll be shipped out, and... I'm a clone. The Republic needs me. Everything is on autopilot. You don't even have to touch the controls until you're feeling better. Tup, Granta starts, alarmed, because if so much as a single Kaminoan realizes what Tup and Comet have done, if the Sith realizes, he'll be dead. He'll be dead so quickly that there's no chance of Granta getting back to him in time. Come on, Comet hisses, and Tup quickens his pace. They haul Granta up the ramp even as he tries to put up some semblance of protest, drag him into the cramped bunk room. One of the beds is set up, and Tup carefully lowers Granta onto it, then pulls back. Tup, Granta says sharply, but his attempt to get up, to grab him, ends in a vague tumble more than any sort of coordinated grab. Sorry, Granta, Tup says quickly, though he's smiling, and it doesn't sound like he means it. When you're better, go to Rishi Station first. Just trust me. Comet, the ship. 90 seconds until liftoff, Comet says, and then both boys are down the hall at a run. Granta can hear the ramp closing behind them, the thump of locks engaging, and he curses, tries again to push to his feet, and feels his legs give out before he can make it even halfway up. His head bounces off the wall of the bunk, and he loses seconds to spinning darkness, has to lie still and just focus on breathing as the world stops lurching. Rishi Station, he thinks, and feels the deep hum of engines powering up, the sudden shift of takeoff. Everything lurches, and he gags, clutches the blankets as he fights down nausea, a deep-seated ache. Somewhere between the beep of the navigation computer coming online and the jump to hyperspace, he loses time, and it takes a very long while to get it back. Recovery is slow. It's clear, in hindsight, that the Kaminoans weren't precisely being careful the last few times they had Granta on their tables. He's had bad times after samples were taken before, but never anything quite like this, and his very bones hurt so much for the first few days that he can't even make it past the fresher on the other side of the hall. Even that requires more crawling than he's willing to admit to, and a healthy dose of swallowing his pride, but... The collar comes off the instant he works the latch, falls away with the vicious sting of needles pulling out of his spine, and it feels like the first time Granta's taken a full breath in years. By the end of the first week, Granta feels a little closer to human, to the point that he manages a shower, changes clothes. After that, he sleeps for a full rotation, exhausted by the effort needed, and spends the next day moving as little as possible, but it's still an improvement. He eats, drinks a full bottle of water, sleeps again, and when he wakes up in the afternoon of the seventh day, he's coherent and capable enough to finally stagger up to the cockpit and check where exactly he is. Comet, on top of being a skilled thief, is apparently skilled at picking hiding places. He's at the very edge of the Rishi system, on a small moon in orbit around the furthest planet from the star Rish. The gas giant's presence is volatile enough to block any attempts to track a ship as small as Granta's, distant enough from everything else that he's well hidden. It's close to the planet Rishi and its moon, too, and Top's last words are still all too clear in Granta's head. The stock in the tiny galley is largely practical, the bare bones that a clone cadet would have been able to steal and hide away, but the one luxury is a box of tea that very definitely didn't come from Kamino. The tin says Naboo, and Granta turns it over in his hands as he waits for the water to heat, wondering how Tup got it. Theft from another clone, maybe, but Tup isn't the type. He probably asked a deployed clone for it, or took it from an instructor. It's a precious thing for a clone stuck on Kamino. The fact that he passed it on to Granta, well, Granta definitely needs to find him a few hairpins. Real Talosian ones, most certainly. It will have to be his first priority once he's visited Rishi Station and found whatever Tup was pointing him towards. Even standing long enough to make himself tea is on the very edge of too much, given how much he's been moving, but Granta is sick to death of lying around in his bed, so he wraps himself in two blankets, takes his tea, and collapses into the pilot's seat to watch the planet below turn. Rishi is a small system, the planets close together. Even from here, he can see the planet Rishi and its moon, the speck on the moon's surface that's likely the station. Getting to it when it likely has heavy defenses will be difficult, but Tup wouldn't tell him to go there without reason. Granta can be sure of that much. He sighs, tipping his head back and closing his eyes. Tup's pad with all the stolen information is on the other seat, but he's felt too foggy to look at it, brain sluggish and glitchy like a bad program. Most of it is occupied by the thought of a single squad of clones, his sons, somewhere out in the galaxy, sent out as cannon fodder. Sent out early, even. The timing means that the experiments were probably carried out on clones who were already in existence, likely toddlers if it was done while they were still in their growth tanks. Any others would be too young, even with the clones being sent out before their training is complete. They were deployed, Tup said. That, at least, means Granta doesn't have to worry about sneaking back onto Kamino. But if Tup wasn't able to find out where his children were shipped off to, it's going to be hell to find them. Particularly when they only survived because they look enough like Jango Fett to pass. At some point, Granta's going to have to hunt down Jango, too, maybe shake him down for custody rights. They have 5 children together. Jango either needs to step up or hand them over, and Granta knows which he would prefer. Everything you've ever let go of has claw marks in it, Chira had told Xanatos once, on the station, when they were fighting and Granta was meant to be asleep. He's not entirely sure it was ever true about his father, but it seems like a decent enough way to live, to Granta. Something blurs across the screen, like streaks of light. Granta opens his eyes to the sight of a meteor shower, hurtling across Risho's sky to plummet into the grass below. He pauses, then turns his head back towards Rishi and its moon, considering. There are plenty of meteor showers in this system, and no matter what systems the station up there has, that seems a decent way to slip past them. He'll have to be careful, because he's not fit for much at the moment, but it's a way onto the moon. The Kaminoans kept him as fit as possible the last 7 years, and he's rusty getting into places he shouldn't be, but it's nothing he can't work through. Besides, Colts told him plenty about how younger deployments of clones are being sent to outposts out of the direct fighting. Rishi is the access point to Kamino, but it's technically far from all the fighting. Granta's clones, his sons, were deployed early, and Tup sent him to Rishi Station for a reason. Granta has his suspicions as to why, and he's willing to bet all the credits he's going to steal that he's right. End of chapter 2.